The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Glory to God. I say glory to God. Now, we've been teaching in these 30 days on the ministry of angels. Actually, the topic is oikos. Oikos simply means, is a Greek word that simply means the house of God. Are you ready for gospel this morning? Oikos means the house of God. And what we've been trying to establish so far is that the believer in Christ Jesus is actually the house of God. God does not live in a building. God does not live in an object. God does not live in a place. God lives in man. Keep this light stable. This is distracting. Message is ongoing. So keep it very stable. Glory to God. So God does not live in an object. God lives in man. Glory to God. I say glory to God. So God lives in us. So the believer in Christ Jesus is the house of God today. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6 tells us, whose house are we? So we are the house of God. Say that again. The believer in Christ Jesus is the house of God. And, you know, this is why you must begin to see and perceive yourself differently. You are not just yet another person. And I said something in the first service very powerful. Even if people don't know who you are, you should at least know who you are. Once you've put your faith in Christ Jesus and what he has done, God now begins to live in you. So there is actually no child of God that is empty. And that is not just because some power is inside of him, but because God himself tabernacles in him. God himself. So when the Bible says we are the temple of God, it's literally what it is. We are God's temple. God lives in our hearts. And so you notice, we cannot say, for instance, that everybody on earth is the house of God. Because some people say it's like, God lives in everybody. Those things are just very emotional statements that you make that are not correct. As long as we try to sound politically correct, I'd like to make everybody happy. God doesn't live in everybody. But God lives in believers. So if you're here and you put your faith in what Christ has done, you've accepted, you're born again, then God lives in you. And if not, God doesn't live in your heart. And that's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous thing to be in a place where God is not. I follow what I'm talking about. And that's why one of the greatest privileges that we have on earth, scratch that, the greatest privilege we have on earth is that we are God's children. And when I say we are God's children, I'm not saying everybody is God's child. That's also another statement you must not make. Everybody is not God's child. Everybody is a creation of God. But we are not all his children. I know what I'm talking about. We are all created by him, but we are not all his children. It is his children that he lives in. And we are God's children. So if you are here and you've put your faith, you have accepted Jesus into your heart, you've put your faith in what he has done on the cross, in paying for your sins, in forgiving your sin, you become his house. He comes to live in you. In John 14 verse 23, Jesus speaking, he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I said, if you keep my commandments, my father will love you. See, if a man keep love me, he will keep my words. And my father will love him. And what will happen? We will come unto him and make our abode with him. In other words, we will come and live inside that man. So the man that loves God, that keeps his words, and what are the words that he has to keep? The words that Jesus spoke, and we're talking about the fact that Jesus has died for us and paid for us on the cross. If you accept that message, he said they will come and live in you. So myself now, I can tell you, God lives in me. And that's not just what I say. That's actually what it is. And if you've been attending this 30 days from the first day till now, I tell you, this would have been very easy for you now. That God lives in your heart. They are not alone. God lives in your heart, literally. And he's there to stay. And I'm sure not only that he lives in your heart, you also live in him. So it's a union between God and man. It's a union between two beings. God in man, man in God. Glory to God. What a blessing it is to be born again. What a blessing it is to be saved. That you become the oikos of God, the house of God, the very tabernacle of God. You become the reality of all the buildings they've been doing in the Old Testament. Because Solomon built a temple for God. But the Bible tells us God never lived in that temple. Moses built a temple for God. God never lived. Why? The Almighty does not live in temples made with hands. You can't use what God created to build a house for him and expect that he will live inside. No. If God will ever live anywhere, he has to build the house himself. And he has done it already. He has built you as his house. So we are seated here this morning, housing God. Housing God. Are you following what I'm talking about? So the new creation man is God's home. Are you getting what I'm saying? The new creation man is God's home. And that's what we've been teaching all since this series started. Two days ago, we took it a step further to begin to show how that everywhere the house of God ever exists, one of the things you find there is that you find the ministry of angels there. Remember? That's what took us into this ministry of angels talk now. Everywhere you find the house of, for instance, Jacob had a vision. He saw in a vision where he was in Bethel, and he saw a ladder. Angels were ascending, angels were descending, and he woke up and said, this is the house of God. Because Jacob understood that wherever the house of God will be, angels will be there, ascending and descending. And Jesus referenced that in John chapter 1, where he told Nathanael, he told him, one day you shall see angels descending and ascending, this time not on a ladder, this time not in Bethel, but you shall see them ascend and descend on the Son of Man. Because Jesus, in his incarnation, was the house of God. What I mean by incarnation is this. Jesus, when he was on earth, he was housing God. So what Jacob saw concerning Bethel, Jesus said concerning himself. Say that on me, or when you see me, you shall see angels ascend and descend. And we began to look at that study, how that at every point in the ministry of Jesus, he had angels responding to him. I'm doing a recap for some that have not been coming for 10 days of light, just to help you. At every point in the ministry of Jesus, you see he had angels at every point. At every point. He had angels responding to him. Every point. Before he was born, it was an angel that announced his birth, told Mary that Jesus would be born. When he was born, it was an angel that went to announce to the shepherds that he has been born. When Herod wanted to take that child out, it was an angel that went to Joseph to say, take this boy and run. I get what I'm talking about. When they were already in Egypt, we will look at that today. It was an angel that went to tell them, Herod has died, you guys can now come back. Are you still here? When he fasted 40 days and nights in the wilderness and the devil came to tempt him, the Bible said when the temptation was over, an angel came and strengthened him. After 40 days and 40 nights, in his ministry, he had angels working with him. When he was going to go to the cross, he told them, I can ask my Father now and he will give me more than 12 legions of angels. Amplified Classic tells us that that's about 80,000, more than 80,000 angels. He said, I have more than 80,000 angels available now. By the time he died, on the third day, when they went to the tomb, when the women went to his tomb, they found two angels sitting there. So you find angels attending to Jesus throughout his ministry on earth. Because wherever God is, angels will serve there. And because the man was housing God, angels were running around him all the time. By the time he rose from the dead, when he was ascending, after he ascended, two angels appeared and told the disciples, this one, you see him coming back. So, throughout his ministry, angels were playing roles. Are you still here? Now, today we are the house of God. And the same way angels were attending to us at every point, they are also available to attend to us like that. Are you still here? I follow him at all. It's available. So, we are not actually alone. Angels are working for us. Hebrews 12, verse 22 says, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Every child of God has angels working for him. And not one, not two, an innumerable company. Uncountable company. Are you following me? Psalm 34 verse 7 tells us, the angels of God encamp around those that fear him and deliver them. It encamp around those that fear him. So I'm saying this to show you that once you're a child of God, there are angels attending to you. And yesterday I was trying to show us something, and it's good I mentioned it this morning because of somebody that are not here. I was giving a warning against angelic worship. So because we talk about the ministry of angels this way, you must be very careful that you don't begin to worship angels or celebrate angels. There is a warning in God's word about that. Colossians 2:18 tells us, read it NLT. Please, let's read together, everybody, like a mask, so I can get the Colossians 2 verse 18, New Living Translation. Are you ready? Glory to God. Let's go together. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they have had visions about it. So we are not to worship angels. Angels have their boundaries. Do you understand? That's why I was telling you yesterday, you cannot say an angel taught me the word. And I was issuing the one yesterday against despising men, if you remember that. Because some people would rather hear, if I put out a poster and said, this morning, Angel Gabriel will be live in church to teach. You see people, they'll flood, angel. Because somehow we feel that if an angel is going to teach it, it's going to be powerful. But that's not actually what we see in God's word. In God's word, we rather see angels referring people to men. Because the job of teaching the word is with men, not with angels. So in Acts chapter 10, the angel told Cornelius, send for Peter to come and show you the way of salvation. The angel said to Philip, go and join yourself to this chariot. That's the Ethiopian eunuch. Why didn't that angel go teach Philip the word? The Ethiopian eunuch the word. He told Philip, go and join yourself to that chariot so that you can teach him. So the teaching of God's operation is with men. Mentorship is with men. Pastoring is with men. Followership must understand that. But angels have their place, but we must know the boundaries. That's why you don't worship angels. Because again, I say unto you, worshiping angels is idol worship. Did you get what I said? When I define idol worship simply for you, once you are worshiping the created or the creature rather than the creator, you are worshiping idols. Angels are a creation of God. We saw that 2 days ago. They are a creation of God. So you can't worship them. That also begins to tell that you cannot also worship men, even if they are men of God. Don't worship men of God. You respect men of God, you honor men of God, you can't worship them. Because once you begin to worship them too, you are worshiping the created instead of the creator. I get what I'm saying? Let me take it a step further. That's the reason why you cannot possibly begin to worship dead people. So the spirit of my grandfather, the spirit of my ancestors, that's nonsense. That's idol worship. Those things are created beings. You can't worship a created being. One of the creator, the one that created him. Spirit of my forefathers, that's rubbish. That's why I can't also worship saints. Say, oh, spirit of Saint Peter, you are an idol, a worshiper. Say, but Saint Peter is a created being. I get what I'm saying. Saint Thomas, no, sir. Amen. Saint Toby, you can't. You can't do that. You worship only God. When John saw an angel and bowed down to him, the angel said, hey, stand up. Don't do that. I'm also a servant of God like you. That's why I gave an example in first service. You look at the ministry of Jesus throughout his lifetime. I already showed you how angels attended to him throughout his lifetime. Yet not once will he ever pray and mention angels. Not once. He will never say, Father, send your angels. Never. But the angels were attending to him. In fact, in Matthew 26 verse 53, he told the disciples, don't you know that I can ask my Father? I will ask my Father. I will ask who? Talk to me. Ask who? And he will send me thousands of angels. So he's not saying I will talk to an angel. He said I will talk to my Father. Is someone following me this morning? So because we said angels are for us, doesn't mean you now start praying. Some even pray and call the names of angels. Oh, angel Michael, come to me. That's rubbish. That's idol worship. I get what I'm saying? You talk to God. Angels, Psalm 103 verse 20, they hearken to the voice of the word of God. So angels don't respond. So you're not expected to worship them. Are you following me? But angels are working for us. And I've shown us some of the things they are going to do. Or what they carry out for us in life and all of that. And I'll show you some more today. Amen. I'll show you some more today. So again, for instance, I showed how the angels play a role in ministry and all of that. But let's take it a step further today. Are you getting blessed already? So angels, okay, one thing they do for us is that they serve as messengers from God to us. They serve as messengers from God to us. That's one of the biggest blessings of working with angelic ministry. Now, notice I didn't say they will come and teach you the Bible. I said they serve as what? Messengers. In Luke 1 verse 26, it was an angel that came to Mary to tell Mary, you will conceive and have a child. That's angelic ministry. That's why by the time you begin to flow in word of knowledge and word of wisdom, one of the ways that God will get to you is to use angels to talk to you. That's one of the ways. Use angels to talk to you. So sometimes they will appear to you in your dream. We'll see that very shortly. Sometimes they appear to you even physically. Sometimes you see them in your visions. But you notice an angel appeared to Mary. An angel appeared to Zechariah and told Zechariah that he was going to have a child. So an angel can actually bring a message to a saint in Christ. Are you still here? So we see that in Luke 1, 20. But let's look at something. In Matthew 1, verse 20. In Matthew 1, verse 20. An angel appeared, watch this, unto Joseph. Because Joseph, Mary had come to Joseph to say, oh, my Lord, I'm pregnant. Holy Spirit came upon me and I became pregnant. Now, you can't explain that to any man. There's no man here that will believe. Amen. Your wife comes back and said, ah, I'm pregnant. I say, how happened? You say, ah, sir. They were preaching in church. Pastor said, receive. I fell down. And I fell pregnant. You can't explain that to anybody. So telling Joseph said, oh, okay, I understand. Holy Spirit came upon you, right? It's okay. And was planning that by the next day, he was going to send her away. And at this point in first service, I just sense the Lord saying I should say that again. Every time, notice, if Joseph had exposed Mary, say Mary is pregnant, so even before angel came or what have you, they would have stoned Mary to death. Jesus and all the vision would have ended. So I kind of feel that God was also careful, not just in choosing the virgin that was going to carry Jesus, but in choosing the man that was going to be her husband, that can manage that particular calling. Because I'll still show you very shortly. At least the man could hear from God, because an angel appeared to him in the dream and said, see, don't pursue this woman. It was actually the Lord. And he believed it. That's why I said again, there are some ladies that you should not try to marry as a man. If you know you cannot manage the grace of God and the vision that God has put in their belly. Before you begin to attract judgment for what you don't know about. Are you what I'm talking about here? Are you following what I'm saying? It's not everybody. Because some men, you see a lady, she's very committed to church, she has a call of God for her life, you begin to check her, you marry her. And you've already planned that once you marry her, she will stop all the things she's doing. You will stand in judgment for that thing. You know what I said? You will stand in judgment for that thing. And same goes to the women. If you marry a man that has a calling, make sure you know the reason why the calling will stop. Are you following me? That's a digression anyway. So he was thinking, let me pursue this woman. An angel appeared to him. At least, Joseph could at least hear from God. He could hear from God. And you will see what I'm going to show you. Because in Matthew 1 verse 20, an angel appeared to him and said, Don't send that woman away. Accept her. Are you still here? Are we still here? In chapter 2, verse 13, an angel appeared to him again and told him, carry this child and run. So he took the child and he ran away so that they won't kill the child. Are you still here? In that same chapter 2, okay, and verse 19, the angel appeared to him again and said, you can now go back home. The people that are seeking the child has died. Do you observe that in the ministry of Jesus, the angel just went to Mary. I don't know why God is putting it in my heart again about marriage. The angel just went to Mary to tell Mary about the birth of the child. But every other information as to the protection of that child was coming to Joseph, the husband. I get what I'm saying? So who got the word for them to carry the child to run? Joseph. Who got the word that they can now go back home? Joseph. That's why, again, you pay attention to who you marry as a woman. Because all this that you want to marry, you are spiritual. You don't want to marry so much of a spiritual person. You are going to endanger your life and your children. And as a man, if you cannot hear from God, you are not fit to marry. Look for a brother around you. Look for your brother, look for your brother, look for your brother. Say brother or sister, brother, brother, brother. If you cannot hear from God, you are not fit to marry. Imagine Joseph did not hear that night when they say, carry this baby and run. The next day they will come and kill Jesus. Imagine he didn't hear. Or imagine, that's why I said, as a young man, I'm saying this actually, learn how to hear from God. Because listen to this, as a young person, or scratch that, as a single, the mistakes you make now are affordable. I was giving an example the first time. You can wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to Maiduguri. You get there after 2 months, you say, oh, someone Maiduguri. I'm going to China. After 6 months, you say, oh, it's not China, it's Chad. You can do all of that. And nothing, nobody is complaining. It's your life. But once you are married, the mistakes you make now have consequences because your children will now bear the brunt. I know what I'm talking about. Your family will now carry it. Every time you move like that to Maiduguri, your children have changed school, I've gotten new friends. You move to China. You move to Chad. Glory to God. And later you go to Chile. Since you have something with CH. Just keep moving up and down. You see, it's good that you master, because as a man who knows his place, most times, for the things that will happen in your family, you are the one God will talk to first. I get what I'm talking about here. You are the one God will talk. That's why he called you the head. So imagine a guy that doesn't hear from God and say, Lord, I want a prayerful woman. Glory to God. So if you can't hear from God, you should never marry. To even start, how will you even know who you should marry if you cannot hear from God? Ah, Kamalanda Baranda Shakatalab. How will you even know who you should marry? So you just keep doing, you know, doing what they call that thing. Glory to God. You're just trying to cast lot. Who should they be? Say, ah, this one is fine. Her face is fine. This one, I like how she speaks. Another one, her waist is big. But you continue all of those things. You know, men don't realize that it's not waste that they used to eat in the house. Men don't realize that. Because the thing about it is, if you marry a woman that has big waist, there are women that have bigger waist than her. Because the beautiful ones are not yet born. My God. And that's why you really have to learn how to hear from God. This man, Joseph, is a big example. No, we'll talk about Mary, 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 but this is a very big example here. He was open, an angel spoke to him 3 different times. And all of them correct. First one, don't pursue this woman. Second one, go to Egypt. Third one, come back from Egypt. And he was open to hear. And that's one of the blessings we have in the ministry of angels. Angels are messengers of God to us. I already showed you, for instance, you know, in Acts 10 and verse 3, okay, it was an angel that appeared to Cornelius and told Cornelius to send for Peter. Because Cornelius was a good man, okay, but he wasn't born again. He was a good man, but he wasn't saved. So the angel said, send for Peter. So that, and all of that will tell you what to do. So that Peter will tell you how to get saved. So we find angels giving messages to believers. I want you to trust the Lord for that. In your life, you have this angelic ministry. And I'm praying for you that your eyes will be open. Yeah, because your eyes, that's one of the major ways God will get across to you, to the ministry of angels. So, of you, your dream, you will find them coming to give you messages. So, you know, I had one interesting experience. I didn't share this the first time, but you guys already know this story, actually. I used to be a student. It's 2001, then. And, well, if you know it, I've done one very well. I was in first year. I was walking down. I'd gotten to Umueze Junction. Then I used to live around Obe. You know Obe. I lived around Obe Boys. Glory to God in my first year. So, and I was walking down and I was trying to get a vehicle that would move. Standing there, you know, one guy walked and he wasn't even dressed properly. So he wasn't wearing tie. It was like a normal boy. Came to see me, Pastor, I don't know where he knew me from. I said, Alpha. He said, you dey go, baby? I said, yes. He said, no go. Do I enter that? I said, what kind of rubbish is that one? So I just left him. And I kept waving down vehicles. He came back and said, Pastor, you won't go by me. No. He was persistent. He would get into that place where they were watching football match and what have you. He would come out and say, don't go. So he kept, of course, I'm naturally very stubborn. I didn't actually think it was God trying to stop me at the time. So I was persistent. He said, no go. He came back. So after he said that, he kept delaying me. And then I just calmed down and I was trying to mutter in the Holy Ghost. And I heard God clearly, like, you know, go back. Yes. And then I turned back. Police had arrived there. There was actually a high profile robbery taking place around school gates, if you know Awan very well. And people were big. It was a very, if you know, Esut then. Glory to God. Esut used to be Esut. We used to shoot. I was entered that school. It was really crazy. Amen. And God had used that engine. Now, by the time those police guys arrived, I just left. I looked around. I didn't see that guy again. I didn't think much about it. It was when I went to him, I just settled down. And the Lord said, you know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 13, verse 2, that some have encountered angels unawares. Sometimes they won't come physically. Sometimes they will come even in your visions. God can send angels to bring you messages. Your eyes will open. You will see. Sometimes in your dream, they will come and begin to talk to you, telling you what to do. And you will begin to experience that from now in the name of Jesus. Your eyes will open. That's actually what I'm praying for. You begin to see that angels can intercept your journey and talk to you. How many of you have ever enjoyed this kind of angelic ministry where they are giving you messages like that? Anybody? Physically? Anybody physically? Really, not like in the school. You see them physically. It's when they go that you find out that, this was an angel. Sometimes you see them in your dream. But there was an angel in his dream. Real life. And don't want your eyes open. Sometimes you don't actually need to see them. Because that's what I'm going to talk about tomorrow. Sometimes you don't need to see angels. They are always available. Those times you see them are just the few times you manage to see them. They appear to your spiritual visions. And it's one of the most beautiful things that can happen to a believer. That there are angels around you who get instructions from God and they can give it to you at any time. That's why you're not supposed to walk the face of the earth like a confused man. I guess what I'm talking about. You're not supposed to walk this earth like a confused man. You're not supposed to. He said, you shall hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. One of the ways God does that for you is that he puts angels on your ways to tell you, walk here, stop here, move. And I just want to say something about the Holy Ghost. I'm getting it by the Holy Ghost. Don't ever say, well, that one are for pastors. It's for every believer. You are the house of God. For every place God lives, angels ascend and they descend in that place. One of the greatest testimonies of physical angelic appearance I've seen, what happened to a woman that used to live beside our house. I'm telling you a real life story. At the time, she was in her 60s and she wasn't married. Of course, I wasn't expecting her to marry. So. Amen. It's a woman we all knew growing up. And one of those days, she was somewhere around that Osaka market. And somebody walked up to her, real life story, a man, and told her, you are going to get married. In her 60s, the man described everything. Said she was stunned, thinking of what happened. The guy left. He turned, he couldn't find the guy again. And it's true to those words, that woman got married in her 60s. This is her 70s. In her 70s. I am not joking. 70-something years. My God. And he took an angel to come because actually an angel had to come and tell her that because no prophet that God speaks to can say it. How can you call the woman in her 70s and say she's going to give? Even if God tell me, I say, God, don't worry. Go and tell her. Because that's what she was no longer expecting. 70 plus. I said, I knew this woman growing up. We grew up. She was not married. And she got married. It wasn't just any kind of marriage. She got married to a former commissioner. I'm not joking. God can send these angelic beings to come to get through to you. I'm not joking. And you know, I mentioned this woman's case. I don't know whether she's born again or not, but she's not a serious Christian. Just an ordinary woman will just be. There are angels attending to you. And they can tell you things. Sometimes your spiritual visions, you can just see them. You can be praying and you sense that presence and they're telling you what to do. So angels can act as agents of direction. While they are not agents of doctrine, they are agents of direction. They don't teach, but they can be agents of direction. So we find angels appearing to believers in their dreams and all of that and telling them what to do. Sometimes they can bring encouragement. You know, Paul was traveling on the high sea in Acts 27 and there was a storm on that sea and the boat was going to capsize and all of that. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. That's Acts 27 verse 23. In the middle of the night, an angel of the Lord that stood by me this night, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, and said to me, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So an angel came to give him that message that brought encouragement to his heart. Many of you, in the course of this series, you will have those appearances actually. Yeah. They will just, you just find. Now, listen. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I didn't say this in prayer service. Don't seek spiritual experiences. Don't do that. Don't say, oh Lord, let angels appear to me. You don't need it. You don't need that prayer. If it is necessary, God will bring it. Just be aware that there are angels attending. Not one, not. You just saw one angel. Bible says there is an innumerable company that work for you. So don't get into the prayer, Father, open my eyes. There are seen angels. Why have I not seen? You actually don't need to see. Most times, I think I'll address this tomorrow or next. Most times, seeing angels sometimes is a product of faith. I mean, you are low in faith. God is trying to use it to encourage you. Because by the time Elisha and his servant, they were in the house, remember? And warriors surrounded them. Elisha didn't need to see the angels. Elisha told Gehazi, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Gehazi was still in doubt. He now asked the Lord to open Gehazi's eyes to see. So Gehazi needed that opening of eyes because he was lacking knowledge. I get what I'm talking about, friends. So don't say, well, I don't think angels are working with me. I've never seen them. You actually don't need to. There are angels working for you. All these days, they bring messages to you. Sometimes you might not see them. Some of these things you hear in your ear. Some of these things you know that I shouldn't enter this world. I should enter the other one. Angelic ministry. Are you following me, friends? And they are working for you. So you are not alone. You are not alone. The next thing angels do for the believers, for instance, is that angels serve as a war host. And this is what we're going to pray today. They serve as a war host for the believer. A war host. Listen, Joshua 5 verse 14. Come on, Dalata. They were about going into Jericho to go and fight Jericho. And Joshua, God verse 13, Joshua came out and he saw a man standing there. And he asked the man, who are you? The man was standing with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua said, who are you? Are you for us or against us? He said, look at verse 14. He said, I'm not for you. I'm not against you. I am the captain of the host of the Lord. Whenever you see the Bible talk about the host of the Lord, it's talking about angels. And I'm going to show you very shortly. So when we begin to hear things like I was saying in the first service, when we call God the Lord of hosts, we are actually talking about the Lord that commands his angels to battle. That's what it means. Are you here? The Lord that commands his angels to battle. In Psalm 89 and verse 8, please put it up. We're going to use different translations. Psalm 89 and verse 8. Let's use it together, everybody. Do you have your voice this morning? You didn't leave it at home. Use volume 10 now. Let's do it together. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. So when you see the Bible say, O Lord God of hosts, who is the host he's talking about? He's talking about angelic hosts. Put up Amplified Classic. He said, O Lord God of hosts. That's NLT. O Lord God of heaven's armies. That's what Lord, so when he said, the Lord of hosts is talking about the Lord that commands his angels to battles. I get the point. Message is very clear on that. Put a message. It's a God of the angel armies. So when we call God Lord of hosts, we are actually talking about the God who goes to battle. And I tell you what, friends, there are battles to actually fight in life. And that's why we thank God for angelic ministry, because angels are an army that always fight to protect, to preserve, and to secure the lot of believers. God of the angel armies. That's why, you notice when David was going to fight Goliath, in 1 Samuel 17:45, he told him, I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. You know what I was saying? The Lord of hosts, that's the Lord that commands his angels. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. He was talking about the God that goes to battle. Are you following me this morning? And that's why you cannot go to a battle and lose. You can't. Because every time the saint in Christ goes to battle, angels are working with him. And that's why you better learn how to engage angelic ministry, because there are battles that everybody must fight. And that's why God put these angels in place to make sure that every time I need to fight, I have backup. He is the Lord of hosts. What that means is that battles don't swallow believers. Battles don't swallow believers. When I see guys that say things like, well, I'm a new creation guy, I don't need to fight, we don't pray this kind of prayer. I don't pray die by fire prayers. I don't believe in that. I don't believe you should kill your enemies. Actually, I don't believe in that. I don't see the point. You know, because most times, die by fire prayers are birthed from fear. You are afraid that if they keep being alive, they are going to kill you or hunt you. I don't pray those prayers. But I bring God into my battles. If you stand on the way, you contend with God. Did you hear what I said? Didn't you see what God said to when Jesus appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus? He said, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. You are the one that will hurt yourself. Because we have God. We call the Lord of hosts. There are angels that are available for battle at all times. So how did Jericho come down? I just showed you. An angel appeared and said, I am the captain of the Lord of hosts. Because the captain of the host of the Lord. So in other words, angels came to that battle. That guy that appeared to Joshua was their captain. Are you following me, friends? That's why we don't travel alone. We don't move alone. Now, you may not see it, but don't move alone. You know something I said to investors, I want to say it very emphatically. In life, you will fight many battles. And you better begin to fight. One of the worst things you can ever be on earth is to be neutral. You have to be very spiritual. If you won't serve God and engage angelic forces, please go and start visiting witch doctors. You cannot be neutral. I get what I'm talking about here. You can't be. Just that one, you will pay. You will pay. Because the devil doesn't give you anything for free. I know there are demons and they wait. You know why it's very stupid to use witch doctors to fight? Is because you are using a demon to fight another demon. So most times, when you go to a native doctor, I've not observed, when you go to a native doctor to fight whatever battle for you, they ask you to bring sacrifices. You know what I'm trying to do? They use those things to appease some of the other demons to leave you alone. That's what they do. They don't actually fight them. I mean, they are still hanging around. That's why after years to come, those demons keep insisting and demanding those sacrifices. Because you need to keep appeasing them for them to keep calm. I get what I'm saying? That's why you see, every day, your father did that. You have to do it. You have to keep doing it. If not, they will keep coming. And somebody get what I'm talking about today. But all I'm trying to say, that's why you don't go to witch doctors to use their powers to fight. You are not actually fighting. You are postponing your day of battle. The day you are ready, you will fight it. Do you know what I said? All this little doctor, you are postponing your battle, you will still fight it. Amadiah is tormenting you. You go and meet Shango. Shango says, bring two rams. He goes to Amadiah and says, just, my brother, just leave him for now. And because they know themselves, but all of them are fallen angels. He said, I say, for now. Make sure that he keeps bringing ram. He said, but we can actually fight and win. That's why God keeps angels around us. You know, there are battles that a believer must fight. And there are angels ready and willing to fight if you can start. God can command them to battle and you come back victorious. And so you look at that, it's God the Lord of hosts. God is God the Lord of hosts because he fights. God fights. In 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 16, we see a host, a chariot of fire. Because Elisha said unto them, to the Gehazi, there be more with us than be with them. Verse 17, read with me. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. That's how we operate. We don't always see, but there is a fire chariot around us. That's why I can tell you we are not alone. And I'm not saying this because it's just what pastor said. I'm telling you like what I know. If I go to battle, I'm going to win. Don't try. Yes. That's some of you that are here this morning. If there are cycles, battles have been going on in your family for a very long time, you better don't keep quiet and thinking that things will just go. There are angels that have been positioned asking you, do you want to fight? When you want to start, you tell us, let's start. Because tomorrow I'll begin to show how to engage angelic ministry. But most of the times, we are the ones holding down. Don't you see what Jesus said? Jesus said, don't you know I can ask my father and he will give us 8,000 angels. That's 12 legions. Put it up. Matthew 26, 53. So in other words, I say this all the time, there were over 80,000 angels ready to save Jesus, but they didn't move. They didn't do anything. They watched him, he was crucified because he didn't engage them. 26, 53. He didn't engage them. Amen. And you notice in this story we just left in 2 Kings chapter 6, those chariots were around Elisha, but they didn't do anything. Until Elisha now engaged them. Because what eventually happened, all those guys surrounding them went blind. All those guys went blind. So those angels are just mounting and waiting. Some of you that are battles, you have started fighting for a long time, but you're just, don't worry, we can do it. We just did. Just did. But you will still fight it. If you don't, your children will. A Christian must have stories of victory. I was saying it in the first service. You look at your son and say, son, there was a time in this family nobody was getting married. If you clock 40, you will not be married. I stood my ground and we contended and we got the victory. That should be such stories. There was a time in this family you don't ever cross this level. You know, I was giving an example with that comedy. I don't think that thing is a comedy. I think it's even an advert. Where somebody came down from a Rolls Royce. Remember that advert? Came down from a Rolls Royce. You know, immediately a car was coming to sweep him and kill him. And he just escaped that accident. And he knew where it was coming from. So he picked his phone and called his uncle. And so, uncle, no be me get up. No, na cab. No be me get the Rolls Royce. And the uncle was already conjuring some things against him. He said, they quick their talk. Now he said, now you get up. He said, you know, say for our family, you know they drive this kind of car. The guy said, yes, I know. But our families that actually, you can't cross whatever level. Once we finish degree in this house, nobody makes progress. That's where we stop. I get to the point. You only have trials and you'll be failing. You can't go for that kind of family and you watch. Don't watch. Command, engage the Lord of hosts. The Lord that engages, that commands his armies to battle. And they will come to war. You know that story I normally tell you guys all the time? That lady that got married, I like that story. I like that story. Because it shows that you can actually sleep and watch. Got married to a family, into this family, married the last born. And every time you get to a certain age, you die. All the men, they get to a certain age, they die. And this guy knew and did not tell the wife. That's why, please, don't keep secrets in marriage. So I will know what you are marrying. I know whether we can fight it. A certain age, and when he got that age, that boy became sick. And he told the wife, actually, I'm going to die. Showed him the path, showed her the pattern at this age. About 31st December, that's my own. The woman said, you didn't tell me all the while. That was when she remembered that she used to be a prayer warrior. So there are people that once things begin to turn well for them, they relax. The fact that you are rich doesn't mean you are done with the battles you are meant to fight. Are you what I'm saying? So she was there that day, almost now 3 days to that time. The family already, everybody knew the guy was going to die that day. And the woman said, "Well, not on my watch." She medicine has failed. She went into her room, locked her door, and stayed in there, and told them, "I'm not going to come out until there is victory." 3 whole days. Menkaromba shikalata. 3 days. You see what Daniel did? 21 days he held on in prayer. There are battles you must win. Never leave a place until you win. Never leave a place defeated. You fought it for 3 months. See, when I tell you some stories, I tell you about how I broke through my finances, how you must have such stories, such landmark victories. This is how we broke through in this marriage. This is how we broke through. I get what I'm talking about. You are here, you need a child. You voted for a child for 3 years, 4 years. Don't stop. Stay there until you win. If there are satanic forces rising, there is the Lord of hosts that will arise. Nonsense, I will pray for 4 years. Baby is not coming. I'm tired. No, that's too early. Stay there until you win. Says that there's a high challenge. I've declared. I've confessed. Don't give up like that. This woman prayed till, if at the time they were knocking on the door, and they told her, "Why not come out to see your husband at least for the last time before he dies?" Because at the time he was already unconscious. But she stayed there. You know why she should stay there? Whether she comes out, he will die. And around that period, she went into a trance. Said in that trance, she was dressed like all these ancient war people. You see Nigerian movies. She was dressed like that. And she saw these elders, these ancient men. They were coming with calabash. They were coming with dance. They were actually dancing and coming. And all they were saying is that today is the day for the last sacrifice. They were coming. I said in that spirit, she stood there watching. She stood there watching. And she was contented. They were like, "Who is this one? This one that is not even a legitimate person in this family." He said, "No, I'm legitimate. I was legally married into this house." They stayed there that day. She combated with them. In the physical, the man was already passing out. And the spirit warfare was going on. And at the time, they were saying to themselves that once this is 12 o'clock, we can no longer clean this body. And the woman stayed there and pushed them back until that time passed. And they turned back. She came up from that place singing. Nobody told her. She opened the door by herself. The man was recovered and lived and was alive. Now, there are battles you don't just leave. There is a God that wants to go with you to battle. You know him as Savior. You must also know him as the Lord of hosts. So that when there is need, he will arise. Those cycles of defeats that has been going on in your family has to end today. You have to choose to end it in one day. That's why, listen, I preach new creation, guys. You know me now. I preach new creation. I've been teaching you on, we are the house of God. But there are some battles that when you see me fight, you will see a part of me you never know that existed. I've red eyes, though. I don't pet those things. You see, in this ministry, stories of victory. You know, 2 days ago was Bishop Edeko's birthday, and there are many stories I just kept remembering about the man. He said they planted a church. 3-4 years, yes, the church wasn't growing. They built a grass cathedral that nobody was coming. Do you get the point? Say those days they built, they had benches. And just to make the place look a bit full, there were keeping people, one person per bench. You know that kind of setup? Nobody was coming. So one day he went into a fast 3 days. Prayed. The Lord showed him a thick black cloud over the church. Yes. And he prayed until that thing rolled away. And then they put a 7 weeks or so seminar. Non-stop, the church exploded. When you see people that have made progress, they're there criticizing, they're doing this, they're doing that. There are battles they fought that brought them where they are. Some of your business is just running around there, setting yourself, you are complaining. Break that in through. Stay strong in prayer. There are angels that want to fight with you actually.
The Lord is the Lord of hosts.
He commands his angels to battle. He commands them to battle. Commands them to battle. Are you still here? Commands them to battle. You know, Psalm 68 and verse 17. We've read it, right? Okay, let's look at Psalm 68 verse 17. So the chariots of God are 20,000. Even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. Read this with our translation. The chariots of God are 20,000. Now, he's surrounded by unnumbered thousands of chariots. He's talking about angels. From Amplified Classic. The chariots of God are 20,000. Even thousands upon thousands. So that 20,000 there is figurative. It actually means thousands upon thousands. So the Lord is among them as he was in Sinai. There's a chariot. That's why we don't travel alone. Ah, Komalanda, yeah, I move with convoy. You just don't see them. Say, if this you're saying is true, if God protects us, why then do men of God move with security men? Don't talk like an ignorant person. God, if I have my time, I will show you there are different ways that God has protected people in the Bible. To Joseph, he told, carry the child and run. You get the point? Sometimes you even stop the danger from happening. Sometimes you can use the existing security personnel to protect you. You get the point? There was a time Paul traveled, he was giving security men to travel with him. Go read your Bible. All of them goes to show that God will do anything to get through to you. End point is that he will keep you under his arms. I get the point. But to let you know that those men of God are not just relying on those security persons. I heard a man of God say, why do I travel with security persons? He said, they just clear traffic for me. To let you know when the thing fails, you know there is God. It's not Dr. Mark White that was in his house and robbers came one of those days to get to his house. They were looking at the fence. The fence was getting taller. He was inside the house. The God of safety. The Lord of hosts. He will get to you somehow. And let me say this to you. You know, Peter was in prison in Acts chapter 12 verse 5. And they prayed and an angel came and brought him out. This is what I'm going to say. Long life is only guaranteed if you know how to engage deliverances. Hear what I'm going to say. That long life is a product of many deliverances. Think about it. The fact that you are still alive now. It's because there are five, four times. Sometimes you would have died and something happened. You missed an accident. Have you ever heard those kind of stories? You missed an accident. You fell sick and all of that. You need. So if you don't enjoy and experience deliverances, you cannot have long life. Psalm 91 verse 16 said, "With long life will I satisfy him." The next phrase is, "And I will show him my salvation." So God, one of the ways he gives you long life is by protecting you from issues. There are secrets all over the world. He has to protect. You have to know how to engage for supernatural preservation. Are you following what I'm talking about? Secrets all over the place. Accidents all over the place. There is evil in the world. You cannot stay in this world and not see evil. That's the truth. God did not say you will not see evil. He said no evil shall befall thee. He actually said only with your eyes shall you behold. So you shall see it. So that it will not now come near you. Because for real, how are you sure that the driver that is going to be driving on that road that was sent in the first service has not taken 8 bottles of beer? I know what I'm talking about. And is driving like a mad person on the way. How are you sure that as you are driving your car, that the brake has not had a problem? Say, sir, but I changed the brake pad. I've seen things. The race is not for the swift. God preserves and he uses angelic beings, angelic hosts to protect, to make sure that no evil will come near your dwelling place. We are going to pray this one. Is that okay? You don't let things just happen around you anyhow. That's what I'm saying. You don't let this happen around you anyhow. You have a child who keeps falling sick. Come on now. The man of God sharing this with us. Every day kept falling sick. child will go to school, primary, they always bring him back from school sick. Ah, one day, no, they brought him back. See, the wife, he said, we were still a bit alive, but the wife couldn't take it. The wife just sat down, kept that child on the bed, and began to pray. He said, he picked it. They prayed and prayed for 2-3 hours. And then got that note of victory. The child has never been sick. You see, that tomorrow we'll pray with you. There is healing in God's word, though. I don't know why God is bringing that very strong. Let me share this story with you. It just seems very strong. Somebody needs to hear this. They gave birth to a child, a couple. This testimony is online. I saw it like last week. I actually shed tears listening to that testimony. Gave birth to a child. Of course, the child was born at, 5 months or so? Or 6 months. Like, impossible to survive. Some other child survived, but he was very dull. Very behind. He picks things 2 years after others have picked it. Behaves like, at 10, he was still behaving like a child on that. You know that kind of thing. And they kept taking him to, he just kept going, he was behaving. Sometimes he can just be looking at you like that. So a child you can literally call an imbecile or something. Say the man of God said he was actually tired. The battles we have to fight. He was tired. He didn't even say one day when the child was in second primary school, they were asking them, what do you want to be in the future? And the child said he wanted to be a pilot. Of all things to be. So they tried to talk him out of it. He said he wanted to be a pilot. So the teachers came to tell the parents that this child said he wants to be a pilot. That they want to tell him that, because that he knows it's not possible, that they should find a way, even if it is. He was angry with them. Said, I know it's not, why are you trying to tell me it's not possible? He said, the day they left the office, he heard God clearly, but with God, all things are possible. He said he stayed on that child. They will pray, they will confess, they will pray. The thing is, that child is a pilot today. Not only flying private, he's flying commercial. That child is a preacher going around the world telling his story. Because a father dared to stand and fight. I'm going to say, there are battles you must learn to fight. Don't let things just happen. The reason there are angels of war is because there will be battles. If there will be no battles, there will be no angels of war. We call him the Lord of hosts because there will be battles to fight. Can I talk to somebody? Fight your battle. Don't run away from it. Fight your battle. Young men, young women, fight your battle. Don't dodge from your battle. Fight it. Face that devil headlong. Don't cut corners. There is a problem with your finance. Don't go and try to do okay. Or go to do jam. Face and challenge that devil. Challenge your finance, your family. Win it once and for all. I have the breakthrough. Don't cut corners. Because all these things we are trying to do, we are trying to avoid, push the battle further. Battle you will still fight. Battle your children will still fight. There is the Lord of hosts who arises in battle. And never loses any battle. That's the Lord of hosts. He comes to preserve. He comes to deliver. He comes to intervene. So if there is a battle, stand and fight it. Stand and fight it. Be up on your feet. Let's close. Be up on your feet. I have shown you the first service. There are angels that are called watchers. In Daniel 4 verse 13. Say, I saw watchers. In verse 17. He said, by the decree of the watchers. So there are angels that are sent to watch over families, that to watch over cities. You must learn to engage them. That's why you cannot live your life losing battles. The Lord of hosts. That's what that song means. The King of Glory. Psalm 91. The Lord of hosts. When he arises as a chariot. He can win any battle. They say to me, you come from a family that has been cycles of divorce. Everyone gets married and gets divorced. And you want to leave that. It's coming to you. Until you stand and you face it. And tear that thing down. See, listen to me. Don't say, sir, I thought you're a man of faith. Faith does not live in denial. Faith doesn't say, Faith is not when you are sick. I'm not. You are sick. Faith just exalts the reality of God's word above that particular thing happening. So if there is a case, there is a case. You don't deny it. I get what I'm talking about this month. You don't say, well, I'm a faith man, nothing happened. But something's already happening right before your eyes. We serve the Lord of hosts. Let's do this like we did in the first service, and then we'll begin. Once we're done reading this, we'll begin to pray. Shabaladaladarabadaya. Do you have prayers you want to pray this afternoon? You know, there are many people, I'm a new creation guy, grace, whatever you say. But there are people that have listened to a few times that have changed my mindset about life, you know, at different points. One man of God said to us, you guys are just postponing your battle days, you will still fight it. And eventually he's correct. Do you know the point about battles? You don't need to know Bible to know that there are battles to fight. I was telling them in the first service, don't you see the older generation, mothers, fathers, if you see them pray. Because you just need to live long in life to see that, come on, you cannot be neutral in this world. So God knows this. He positioned angels to say, whenever Jennifer wants to fight, fight with her. Are you following what I'm talking about? Any day, Jibaik says, I now want to fight, assist him. And there are some of you I'm seeing in the Holy Ghost. You've been seeing dreams. And every time you see dreams, you see combat and battles in your dream. You don't know what it means. You just wake up. I don't know who I'm talking to. There's something like that. You see that's your dream. What is actually happening? God is pointing something to you. You're going to, even after this service, you're going to go home. In these 30 days, fight with me. And I'm going to fight with you. Yeah. I'm going to war with you. I'm going to hold your hands and we're going to go through this battle. So that with these 30 days, we'll record the end of all those nonsense. We are not without help. 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 Let me tell you. This is why I don't live life like a scared man. Let me tell you here. I don't pray for trouble. But I know trouble will come. I'm not actually afraid that I'll be challenged. Sometimes when people tell me, I say, you know, talking about health, I told someone, go for tests. He says, I'm afraid. I said, go for this. What's the worst? He said, they will tell me something wrong with you. I said, well, if something was wrong with you, it's always been wrong with you. So go for this so that you will now know the battle you are fighting. Don't be afraid of battles. I get what I'm talking about. Go for the test. Let's see. That's, I don't deny reality. If your finance is not working, don't be carrying yourself like fake it till you make it. You cannot fake nothing till you make nothing. If there's a problem, there is a problem. Stand there and win. When you win, you don't need to fake. Everybody will say that you've won. You don't say money not to hide. Money doesn't hide. When you break through, everybody knows you've broken through. And I'm not talking about getting 500,000, 2 million, and after 10 years, another 3 million enters. There is tomorrow. I'll talk about angels, angelic ministry in the area of provision tomorrow. Don't miss tomorrow by 5 p.m. Yeah. Because when you break through like that, it becomes a constant flow. I know breakthroughs have recorded in my life, not just financial. When there's a command, if that part opens, eh? Oh, glory to God. Even in ministry, when you break through, like, they will know. We're going to pray. Let's read Psalm 91 together. Remember, I told you first service, we're going to personalize it. So I'm not reading, I'm reading for me. So you read on top of your voice personally. Are you ready? Let's go together. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely, He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings will I trust. His truth is my shield and my buckler. I shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Come on. Only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because I have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High my habitation. Remember, we live in God. God lives in us. That's what he just showed you, what he's been teaching. We've made the Lord our refuge, the Lord is our habitation. Continue, verse 10, let's go. There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. For he has given his angels charge over me. So do you see why all these things they said will happen? Because angels have been given charge. There are angels that have an instruction saying, watch over Jeremiah. Make sure that they are called watchers. If you engage them, Most High God of heavens.
Hold on and get the victory. Hold on and get the victory. spirit that you must find. I heard that in the Holy Ghost. There is a path, there is a way in the spirit that God will show you. There is a way, there is a path in the spirit. Content. Content. Even after this meeting, content until you return with your victory. Until you return with the head of Goliath. Until you return with your victory. You don't take your foot off the gas. You keep moving. You keep pushing. You keep pushing. Today, but we don't have the time. Listen, tomorrow 5 p.m. the Lord just spoke to me now. I've never done it in this church, but the Lord just spoke to me now. Tomorrow 5 p.m. is going to be family deliverance. Family deliverance. If you have your family, let them come. Let some of them tune into the service. Okay? I saw families. Now, tomorrow I'm going to pray in families. If you're married, be here with your wife tomorrow. Okay? If you're married, be here with your children tomorrow. Tomorrow evening, I'm just going to push a little, just say a few things. I'm going to ask families, brothers, to hold brothers tomorrow, sisters, hold sisters. We are going to stay and listen to me, because one of the testimonies of the 30 days will be that some battles came to an end. It's long overdue. And I began to hear that in the spirit. It's long overdue. That there will be freedom for families. I heard that from the Lord just now. So whether you call me new creation or old creation, tomorrow is family deliverance. Did you hear what I said? Tomorrow. Because I'm just going to say, offload everything God has put in my spirit. And if the Lord helps us tomorrow, we shall move by word of knowledge tomorrow and open up issues. Bring them. If you know there are things that are trusting God to bring to an end in your family. You know, we began this thing on Saturday. You remember yesterday? We began to pray for families that, you know, people that were unsaved and all that. We are going to know battle tomorrow. We're going to pray that battles that contend with families will come to an end. Because that's the testimony of these 30 days. By the time we are done. Because I tell you guys, God is beginning a walk. I see war angels. They've just been waiting. Do you want to engage us now? There are prayers you must pray. Are you know what I'm saying? There are prayers you must pray. Don't leave anything to chance. Every failure in the physical has its root to something in the spiritual. Now, we might say it's because that guy is not serious, he was not diligent. But again, of course, that is not being diligent, but I can also tell you, if someone is spiritually sound, for instance, you'll be a diligent person. If you learn your Bible very well. So, every failure has its root in something spiritual. And sometimes, people are actually diligent. Have you seen, well, I'm seeing this in the spirit, I'm trying to ignore it. Someone in your family is given to alcohol. I'm seeing a father. The problem is he drinks, falls, is a disgrace to the family. But the problem is that he was not always like that. That's what I'm seeing in the spirit. That thing just started. He wasn't always like that. And you guys somehow know that there is an extra force. Tomorrow, okay, you know, we have fixed an appointment with God. He will be here tomorrow. I mean, the Lord of hosts. Tomorrow is warfare. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I won't even go for them. I'll just say a few things from my notes. All those provision talk, I'll talk about it later. Tomorrow is what we're going to get right into it. I didn't plan for this, but we are going to win. The victory is sure. You are winning. I say you are winning. The lead is removed. The victory has come. I heard the Lord now. Weeping may endure for the night. He said, joy comes in the morning. This is the morning of your life. I heard the Lord say that. The morning of your life has just come. Just stay strong in prayer. Don't take your... Let me tell you.
People say, sir, how long will I pray until I get the victory? I actually don't know. But I know that there is no prayer you pray that is wasted. So for every time you are praying, warfare is taking place. You know, we saw that yesterday, right? Every time something is happening. As Daniel kept praying for 21 days, every day, there was engagement with the prince of Persia. There's a truth that we know. Over 2,000 years ago,
Jesus made an open show of hell and eternity.
Come on, sing with me.
The devil is a liar. The glory God was final. The release of the sound. For the victory is
won. Sing it again.
There is a truth that we know.
Demands. So if you return tonight, you will feel that urge to keep praying. Please follow it. But tomorrow will end this madness. I get the point. There are landmark victories you must have in your life. Write tomorrow's days. So that you can refer. Look at the day we broke through for my family. Look at the day we conquered. You know, I keep telling you, for instance, when I tell you stories of ministry, how the Lord broke us through, I tell you, when my finance was bad. You know that story, I keep telling it. That's a landmark victory that will stay with me for life. When you get the victory, it stays with you for life. I know what I'm talking about. Landmark victory, that when you get it, you hold it. And when you get it, that nobody can take it from you. We are going to win. Listen to me, church. Nobody should get tired. The reason you are broke is not the economy of the country. Because there are people in the same economy that are doing well. God will get through to you. He will get through to you. Do you know that I have seen people, I don't know if there is a brother that God has put in my heart to pray for. I think that should be tomorrow. I'm trying to see if he's here. I don't know, he's never been seeing him. He's not here now. I hope he comes tomorrow. There are people that have traveled far and wide. And yet they go to everywhere. They even engage. If I like that, I'm going to pray for you tomorrow. They even engage in crime. If the crime will see no, if you don't understand, you do not see no favor for them. They will still travel everywhere. Nothing will still happen. There is something upon your life. If you like and still, you still not get nothing. They will catch you. Because that thing after your life wants to frustrate. Have you seen that kind of thing? Others are doing them. Once you just come in, your own will fail. And that's what I start complaining. So what did I do to God? Is it God that did it to you? Know the battle to face and face it. And we are winning. Again, I say we are not without help. Preach that to three persons. I say, I'm not without help. Tell them. Preach it to them like you know what I say. I'm not without help. Glory to God.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.